know they can make a lot of noise, so we know they're going to be able to sing really loud today. Would you please welcome today, by the way, welcome to this beautiful Sunday here at Columbia United Methodist. We have beautiful weather. We're going to have a great sermon. We're going to have some great singing, so we've got a lot. What we want to do up here is hear you out sing us, okay? That's the goal. You have to out sing us. So everyone, please stand up, and we're going to get started with Only King Forever.
Our rock, the only solid ground, the nations rise and fall. Kingdoms once strong, now shaken, we trust forever in your name, the name of Jesus. Whoa, we trust the name of Jesus. King forever, Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. You are the only King forever, Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. Justice you will reign, and every knee will bow. We bring our expectations, our hope is anchored in your name, the name of Jesus. Whoa, we trust the name of Jesus. King forever, Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. You are the only King forever, Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. Jesus, from age to age you reign, your kingdom has no end. We lift our banner high, we lift the name of Jesus. From age to age you reign, your kingdom has no end. You are the only King forever, Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. You are the only King forever, Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. You're my firm foundation, I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation, I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. I have a living hope,
I have a future.
Jesus, you're my firm foundation, I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation.
I'm sure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word.
You may be seated. And good morning and welcome. We are glad you're with us this morning as we come and we worship together, and we are getting near Holy Week. We're getting near ready to celebrate Easter. So we are glad you're with us this morning. Glad you are here. We welcome you. Just a few reminders that right after the service today is choir practice. So if you're interested in singing the choir, you can come and still be a part of that this week as we sing it for Easter. Also, if you are interested in reaffirming your baptism or being baptized for the first time, I'll be having a meeting in the conference room, and we would like to reaffirm or baptize anybody for the first time on Easter Sunday. The conference room, if you go right out the doors here where the bathrooms are at, is right off to the left, and we'll be meeting in there. If you're in choir and you would like to be a part of that meeting, just come right after you're done with choir and we'll go everything together. So if you're in choir, stay for choir, and you are interested in being reaffirmed with your baptism, baptized for the first time, then just come right after you're done. Otherwise, I'll see you in the conference room for anybody that would like to reaffirm their baptism or to be baptized for the first time. Don't forget that your Easter flower orders are due today. It is the last day to get them in, and there are several options. The order forms are in the credenza and the welcome center. Also today, we want to recognize the altar flowers, as they are in memory of Pat Gaughan by Deb Mounts. So we wanted to recognize that this morning, of the altar flowers being in memory of Pat Gaughan by Deb Mounts. As we come together this morning, let us continue to prepare our hearts for worship, and let us just enter into a time of prayer. We want to continue to be thinking about Sue Hinkle as she's recovering from hip surgery. We want to be thinking about Sue Lise as she'll be having surgery this coming week for her shoulders. So please keep Sue Lise in your thoughts and prayers. Also Charles Bink in your thoughts and prayers as he is still recovering from COVID and some other illnesses that are going on. So let us look to God, and let us just lift our hearts to him today. Let us pray. Lord, I come before you now, and I give you thanks and praise for who you are. We are here because of you today, not because of anything we've done. So God, we come now, and we thank you for everything that you've done for us. We thank you for the blessings you've given to us. We thank you for just being able to wake up and just be here this morning to celebrate you, to celebrate with friends, to be together as a family. And we come this morning, Lord, and we want to be thinking about Sue Hinkle and Sue Lise and Charles Bink, that you would continue to be with them and be with Sue as she prepares for surgery, that you would just give her peace and strength. Be with John also, as he will be waiting for the procedure to be done in the waiting room, that you would be with him and strengthen him during this process as well. And we come this morning, we lift our requests to you, Lord. We come and we say, God, here we are. Everything we have is yours. Lord, you know our struggles. You know what we're facing. And so, Lord, we lift those struggles to you now and ask that you would take those burdens and carry them for us. And Lord, as we come now, we pray, God, that it would not be about our will, but your will be done, that everything we do is focused on you this morning. So as we continue to sing praises, as we get ready to hear the word, Lord, that we would focus in on you and put you first and foremost. So God, we ask that you would hear our prayer now as we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For mine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue to worship together at this time. If there's any kids, they're dismissed to kids' worship this morning. and have a wonderful time learning and growing. Let us continue to worship God.
All of my days.
Yes, God, you are worthy of our praise, and it is you alone that we worship, and that is why we are here today, to worship you alone. So we ask, God, now to prepare our hearts and our minds as we come this morning, that you might open them so we might hear you speak to us, Lord. We ask, Lord, the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart would be pleasing to you, and all that's said and done this morning, that as we come together, that we would worship you. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, praise team, for leading us this morning. Such a powerful reminder of why we are here. We are here to give him praise and to worship. Today we're going to continue our sermon series on being broken and being put back together again. We talked about temptation the very first week and how we are tempted. We talked about service, and we talked about prayer last week and the essential part that prayer plays in our lives. And today, we're going to talk about confession as we continue on the journey to the cross. I remember I was 17 years old. It was my senior year in high school. And I remember that my parents and I, we would drive separately to church. And I lived in Hyattsville, Maryland, and our church was in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. And for those that don't know where Upper Marlboro, Maryland is around where Joint Base Andrews Air Force is at. And Hyattsville, Maryland is on about 40, 45 minutes, probably about 40 minutes away from there. So we would travel about 40 minutes to and from church every Sunday. It was a church that was associated with the school that I was going to. And so my parents would get on their way, I'd go on my way, and then we would get to church and do our things. After church, we would kind of just check in with each other. And I remember this one Sunday, my parents left before I did, because I would always kind of hang around and talk to my friends. And they were well on their way. They had probably left maybe about 15 minutes or so before I had. And I get out of my car when I'm done talking to my friends, and I begin to start it, and I begin to head home. And for that area down there where we lived at, the only quick way to get down to Hyattsville, Maryland from Upper Marlboro was by taking I-495. And if you know anything about I-495, it's a four-lane highway, high traffic, and there is no quick way to go from here or there. It's a one-way stretch as you're going down. You're either going east or west, or if you're going down to Baltimore to get on 95, you're going to go south or north that way. I remember I got in my car, and I'm headed down I-495. I'm not paying attention. I'm cruising down the road, and all of a sudden, I'm cruising down the road. I look over the car next to me, and lo and behold, who does it have to be? It's my mom and my dad. I had somehow caught up to my parents. Now, you can infer two things here. Either they were driving very slowly, or I was driving very fast. I tend to lean on the other one. They were driving very slowly. So as I look over, I see them, and I'm like, oh boy, I hope they don't notice me. So I quickly merge and change lanes so that they don't see me, and kind of lay off the pedal a little bit, and we get off the exit, and they're about five cars ahead of me, and so then they kind of get off, I get off, and I see them turn into where we lived at, because we live in an apartment, and I kind of like stayed down the block for about 5 to 10 minutes, and then I pulled in after them, and my dad was waiting as I got out of the car. My dad said, so, how did you get here at the same time we did? I said, oh, you just pulled in? I didn't know that. He said, seriously, how did you get here at the same time we left before you? I said, oh, I took back roads to get home. Well, there are no back roads to get from point A to point B. So I'm like trying to cover my tracks here. I'm like, well, you know, my friend told me about this new way to get home, so I took it home. And my dad said, oh, really? He said, well, do you want to explain then why your mom looked over and saw you driving right beside us on the highway? I went, oh, man, I'm busted. My dad was like, yeah, you're busted. And as a result, he wouldn't let me drive for 2 weeks because of that. I was so upset. He's like, next time, why don't you realize that when you're driving, not to drive so fast, and maybe this will teach you to kind of pay attention to the speedometer instead of, you know, your foot and trying to get to point A to point B too fast. See, confessing things and coming clean is hard to do at times, even when we're caught in a trap. Even when we know that the person might know what we've done, we still have a hard time confessing it, and we try to cover things up. We try to make excuses. We try to hope that we can pull something over on them, even when they knew. My dad had known, and I wasn't fooling him, but yet I tried to lie and get my way out of it, and then I had to confess lying as well. See, what happens in our lives is that so many times it's a lot harder to confess, we think, and a lot easier to sit there and try to cover our tracks with things. The problem with that is the more we cover our tracks, then we got to remember what we said in the first place to make sure it matches up to where we're at now so that we don't get caught in that cycle of things. All of us, I'm sure, have a story here today in which we needed to confess something, and instead we tried to get out of it by making an excuse or a story, trying to hope that somebody wouldn't catch us in our mistakes. So many times we try to cover up our mistakes or our failures because it's easier to try to cover them up than just to come clean. And when it comes to our relationship with God, so many times we do that as well. That we make bad choices in life, we make mistakes, we falter and we fail, and we so many times let those choices define us, and we spend much time in our lives seeing they're justifying our actions before God. But God, if you understood, but God, you weren't there. But wait a second, you were there. So that one's not going to work either. But God, you just don't get it. And we begin to sit there and kind of make excuses to God, and God goes, you don't have to make excuses. I'm not mad at you. I'm not upset with you. My dad, he wasn't mad at me. He wasn't upset with me. He was disappointed in me, but he forgave me, and we went on. And that's how it is in relation with God, is that so many times we can let our failures and our mistakes and our bad choices define our relationship with God, and we try to hide them because we think God's going to judge us or come down with a heavy hand on us. And God says, I forgive you. I'm disappointed you made a bad decision, but I still love you, and we will move on from this. When we look at the aspect of making choices and coming clean when those choices sometimes are not good choices, when we make mistakes and we have failures, we need to realize that God's not up there waiting to say, I told you so. He's not waiting up in heaven to scold us. He's waiting for us to say, God, I'm sorry. Can we try it again? Our failures, our mistakes, and bad choices end differently when God becomes a part of them. Look at Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that God has marked out for us. We cannot run the race that God has marked out for us if we're too busy trying to cover up our failures, mistakes, and bad choices. We cannot be the people that God has called us to be to enjoy this life that God wants us to enjoy or have peace if we're too busy just saying it's easier to cover things up than to confess. You see, I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what situations you've dealt with this week. I don't know what situations you've been dealing with for the past month or year. But none of us are broken beyond repair, no matter what mistakes we've made, no matter what choices we've made, no matter what failures we might have, none of us are broken beyond repair. But Pastor Tom, you just don't know what I'm struggling with right now. If you knew what I was struggling with right now, you would look at me differently. Pastor Tom, if you knew really the choices I had made, you probably wouldn't even want me to be worshiping in your church, Pastor Tom. It doesn't matter, folks, because by God's grace, we all have made bad choices, and God forgives us and says, I love you, let's move on. It doesn't matter what you're struggling with right now. It doesn't matter the past. What matters is the here and the now, what you're going to do with that. What matters is that you're saying, I'm broken. I don't think I can be fixed. And God's saying, nothing is too broken beyond my repair. And yes, I can fix you and put you back together again and restore you. But you have to first say, God, I'm sorry, I messed up, I need your help. That is the first step in experiencing God's forgiveness, that amazing grace. So this morning, let's look at Luke 15. This is a very familiar passage to us. We looked at this in our Thursday night study a few weeks ago. It is the story of the prodigal son. So let's jump into Luke 15, start at verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me a share of the estate.' Divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, squandered his wealth, and while living. After he spent everything, there was a famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to be a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. He came to his senses and said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went out to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So began to celebrate. And meanwhile, the older son in the field came near the house, heard the music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come home,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered, 'Father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate my friends. But when this son of yours has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill a fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again, is lost and is found.'" So we look at the story, we find that this individual, the son, thought that he could run his life better than his dad. And the illustration is here of how many times we think we can run our lives better than God. And we'll say, "God, just give me what's mine. I'm going to go on my way." And we leave God and we go about our lives. We begin to double down on our bad decisions. We begin to live a life where we say, "Man, there's got to be something better than this. There's got to be a way that life can be enjoyable again." And we begin to let our bad decisions hurt us and get us down like the younger son. The prodigal son. And it's interesting because when you look at that word prodigal, that word is used for while living means it's used one time in the New Testament. Did you know that? When it says, and when about while living, it's only used one time in the entire New Testament in this parable. It describes an extravagantly wasteful lifestyle that the son threw everything away. That for the time, things were good, and then for the son, everything went away, and he didn't know what to do. The parties came to an end, he was stressed and weary, and he was trying to find another way to escape things. And he ended up with the pigs. You see, even if we have squandered it all, which we all have squandered it all, I don't care who we are, we have at times just walked away from God in relation to God, and we have squandered the things that God has given to us. Because Isaiah tells us very clearly in Isaiah 53:6 that we all, like sheep, have gone astray and gone our own way. That I don't care who you are, we all, including myself, have gone astray and gone our own way at times. And we sit there and we say, "Well, I've squandered everything. I have nothing left to give. There's no way God will ever take me back again. I am not worthy. God will never love me or accept me again because I squandered everything and I'm not worthy. When we look at the passage here, he realizes, you know what? I'm not worthy. I'm just going to go home and I'm going to be a servant to my father. At least I'll have a place to sleep and I'll have a place lay my head, but I'm not worthy. There's no way my father is going to accept me again. You see, the son finally came to his senses and said, you know what? I can continue to live in the way I'm living. I can continue to make bad choices, or I can go home to my father and say, Dad, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. And will you at least take me back to be one of your servants? But the son finally came to his senses and went home and said, Dad, I sinned against you, Lord, and I'm sorry. There has to be a time in our lives when we come and we realize that the way we're doing things, the way we're coping with life, the way we're trying to escape life, that everything that's going on in life isn't working, and that we need to come back to God and say, God, here I am. Will you take me back? And as he begins to confess, he says, I've sinned against you. The father then wraps his arms around him, gives him a kiss, and says, welcome home. The father doesn't say, well, gee, good to see you. I'm glad you decided to come back. Now get out of here. I don't want to ever see you again. It doesn't say, the father said, well, yeah, you can be my servant. And by the way, you can start at the bottom and work your way up. No, he said, kissed him and hugged him and said, he's home. Let's throw a party. So many times we feel we're not worthy when we make bad choices and mistakes in our life. But God says, I'm hugging you, I'm kissing you, and I'm saying, I'm welcoming you home. I'm glad that you're back. And he tells the angels, let's rejoice because that person came back. Let's have a party. And then we are made alive again. We are made alive again when we come back to God and say, God, here I am, I'm broken. I'm sinful, I have nothing, I've made mistakes, God, mistakes I'm not proud of, I made choices that aren't the best choices in life, so God, here I am, my baggage and all. And then all of a sudden, we are restored and made alive again. I think this is probably one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible that shows God's compassion. Shows God's compassion of how the younger son reaches rock bottom in life. But even while he was a long way away, the father saw him and ran to him. The father didn't wait for him to come to him. The father could have stood there and said, all right, 5 more steps, 10 more steps, okay, now I want you to kneel before me and I want you to basically tell me why you're here. No, it said the father didn't wait, he ran to him. God is running to us. He sees us. He's running to us. He doesn't wait. He says, I'm coming for you. But we need to be ready to go to him when he's running to us. That God is constantly there waiting for us to come back to him. Here we are this morning with this passage of God saying, I just want to give you compassion, warmth, and love, and mercy, and grace that only I can give you. You know, I love this passage because it describes my life. It describes my relationship with God so well at times that I can relate to this passage so well. You know, as I look back on my life, I look back at middle school and how I was a prodigal son and how I rebelled against my parents and how I rebelled against God. And it wasn't until my senior year in high school where God welcomed me back and said, all right, welcome home. There are other decisions in my life that I made that I look back on and say I could have probably done things differently. And God says it's okay because you're still forgiven and we're going to move on. There are many times when I look at the resources God's given me and I've squandered those resources. And God says, I gave you all you need, but look what you did with them. And I say, God, I'm sorry. And God says, it's okay. I'm still going to provide for you anyway. I look at my life and my relationship with God and so many times how God gets put on the back burner sometimes. And God says, I'm still here. I forgive you. It's okay. I love the story of the prodigal son because I can relate to it so well in my life, in my personal life. And even in ministry, when I say, hey, you know what? I think I can do this by myself. I don't need you, God. God, thanks a lot. I'll come to you if I need you. That so many times through every single aspect of my life that I could be like the prodigal son at times and say, God, I know how to do this better than you, and I'm going to do my own thing. And I come back, and God says, I'm here. You're forgiven. I love you. Time and time, running back to God with his outstretched arms there before us and saying, Pastor Tom, welcome home. He says, Tom, you know, I forgive you. It's okay. Let's try it again. He says, you know, we're going to start over here. You know, it's interesting because not one time has God ever said to me, well, you know, Pastor Tom, it's about time you decided to come back to me. I've been counting down the days and hours. It's about time you came back. No, not once has God said, well, did you learn your lesson, Pastor Tom? Can you tell me what you did wrong, Pastor Tom? Did you learn your lesson? Not once has God done that. God has not once said, well, I'll forgive you this time, but next time I'll really have to think about it, Pastor Tom. I'll give you one pass. This is your one free pass. In every case, God has welcomed me back unconditionally. No strings attached. Not focusing on the failures, mistakes, or bad choices. Saying, God, you are here with me. Please forgive me. I'm sorry I messed up. And he says, you are my child. You are forgiven. And we can move forward in this. Every time he picks me up and we start over again. That is who God is. That is what a compassionate God is a God who says, let's do this together. I don't care who we are. We're all like the prodigal son. We all have strayed away from God. We've all, at some point in our time, made bad decisions. We look back and say, boy, I wish I could have done things differently. We all stray away like the prodigal son. We head out on our own and we try to live the life the way we want to live it, try to make life the way we want it. And when things don't turn out the way we think they should turn out or don't go the way we think we should turn out, we're afraid to come back to God because we think God's going to shake his fist at us. Folks, God is not schizophrenic. God is not bipolar. God does not have many different personalities. God is a loving, compassionate God. He doesn't say over here, I love you, come home to me. And over here, like, oh, I'm going to punish you and scorn you. And how dare you come back to me and confess your sins to me. That's not how God is. God is not Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. God is a God who is the same all the time, unchanging, merciful, gracious, caring, loving, and forgiving, and unchanging. But so many times we go, well, what side of God am I going to get? Am I going to get the Mr. Hyde side or Dr. Jekyll's side? And we're afraid to talk to God because we don't know which side of God we're going to get. But folks, God doesn't have two different sides. But God says, I love you just the way you are. I don't care what you've done. Just come unto me and I will give you rest. Confess your sins to me and you will be forgiven. We truly want to experience God's peace in our life. We need to come to him and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm tired of doing things my way. One of my favorite worship songs is The Heart of Worship. Lord, I'm sorry for the way I made things. It's all about you. It's all about you. Lord, I'm sorry for what I've made this thing that I call worship. Forgive me, God, because this isn't it. Bring me back to the heart of worship. Bring me back to you because it's all about you, God. It's all about you. That is what God is asking us to do today, to say, you know what, God? I'm sorry for the thing that I've made this. It's all about you. And so here I am, God. Give me that heart of worship once again. What's keeping us today from experiencing that heart of worship again? Is it anger? Unforgiveness? Somebody that's offended you that you're not willing to let go of? Is it unmet expectations you have in life? Is it past hurts and past pains? Is it coping with life by trying to escape, by doing different things, by trying to find that media outlet that you're glued to your computer and you're trying to escape from reality by watching things on the internet that you shouldn't be watching? Is it trying to find the escape in prescription drugs, alcohol? Is it trying to find escape in inappropriate relationships? Is it trying to find escape by doing things that we know draw us further away from God than closer to Him? What is it today that each of us need to confess and say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me, let's move forward, that we need to be healed of so that we can experience God's peace? James 5:16 says, therefore, let us confess our sins to each other and pray for each other so that we may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins unto Him, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. That God is waiting this morning with His arms outstretched wide for us. He's waiting for us to come to Him so we can celebrate, so we can have a party and say, Pastor Tom's home, folks. Let's have a party. He's back again. Today is the day that He's waiting for you and I to confess whatever it is we're holding on to lay it at His feet, to get rid of it. Because while He was still a long way off, the Father saw Him, was filled with compassion, ran to Him, threw His arms and kissed Him. The Son said, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer to be worthy to call your son. Quick, bring the best robe, put it on Him, put a ring on His finger, bring the calf, let's have a feast. For my son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. How about it today? God's ready to celebrate. He's ready to put that ring on your finger. He's ready to put that robe on you. But we have to come to God and say, God, I'm sorry for everything I made this. Will you forgive me and restore me? And He says, yes. Yes, indeed I will. That is the whole part of Lent and journeying to the cross on Good Friday and then Easter morning at resurrection, is coming to God and saying, God, I've messed this whole thing up. And only You can put it back together again. So here I am. I'm Yours. Go ahead and take those broken pieces and put them back together again.
Please stand and join us again in worship and giving our hearts to the Lord. Oh, I need You every hour. to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you every hour.
James 5:16 again says, therefore confess your sins to each other, pray for each other, and the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. This morning, as we close with the song, The Power of Your Love, I'll be standing over here on my right. If you want to come forward with prayer, I'm more than willing to pray with you. Just about anything going on in your life, I don't care what it is. Maybe you just want to turn the person next to you and say, hey, will you pray with me right now? I just need prayer. And just turn the person next to you and say, hey, can you just pray for me? And you don't have to tell them what it's about. Just say, I just need prayer. And as we think about the song, The Power of Your Love, and how much God loves us, let's remember that He doesn't look at our sin. He looks at how we are redeemed through His Son, Jesus Christ, and says, I'm here and I'm waiting now. So as we sing The Power of Your Love, if you need a prayer, turn to somebody this morning beside you and say, just pray with me. Or come forward and I'll have prayer for you this morning. Let us continue to sing.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in. Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power.
May this week, God's Spirit lead us on by the power of His love. May the grace and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen. I'm going to remain up front this morning. If anybody would like to have prayer, I'll be up front if you want to have prayer this morning. Have a wonderful, blessed week. May you go in peace. Amen.